You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Vikings, Locked On Podcast Network, Sam Ekstrom and Sage Rosenfels on a Friday. A day when we make our picks, we put the finishing touches on the prep for the Vikings and Panthers. But how about an NFC South battle last night? One of the better Thursday night games of the season. The Falcons overcome three Matt Ryan interceptions, and they win that game 20-17 with some drama at the end, Sage Rosenfels.
Yeah, there was an interesting situation there. There was a third and one, but there was a penalty on New Orleans to bring them back to either 3rd and 11. But Dan Quinn, the head coach for Atlanta, decided to decline the penalty to make it 4th and 1 from around, I think, about the 20-yard line. So I don't know if he expected them to kick a field goal there. They were down by three. The Saints were down by three. But sure enough, Drew Brees sneaks to the head for about 1.5 yards, 2 yards, gets a first down, but then bailed out. The Atlanta Falcons were bailed out just a few plays later as Brees threw an interception in the red zone, in the end zone, on one heck of a play by the Atlanta middle linebacker.
Yeah, Deion Jones makes that play. It was really a fantastic interception. And then Sean Payton, on the ensuing set of runs by Atlanta, Sean Payton runs out onto the field and gets penalized for it, which essentially ended the game and took away the chance for Brees to make one last crack at it. So the Saints lose again. They are 9-4, so the Vikings have even more cushion over the Saints for that first-round bye. And then the Eagles and Rams playing on Sunday, that has gigantic ramifications. Vikings obviously cheering for the Rams in that game. Let's do this. We got a couple questions on Twitter from @Chet_Ripley and @Scott2345. They both want to know the same thing. They're both wondering what has happened to Stephon Diggs. You know, since Diggs got hurt earlier this season, he hasn't been quite as effective. Since he got hurt, he's had five games. Two of them have been okay. 4 catches, 78. 5 catches, 66. The other three have been 32 yards or less. Do you think this is a reason to be concerned about Diggs? Or, I mean, the passing game has been fine. Is this just a result of Adam Thielen getting so many targets and Case Keenum just spreading the ball around?
Well, it's a result of a lot of things. Adam Thielen, obviously, becoming the primary guy. Diggs was more the primary guy the last couple seasons. and the fact that the Vikings are running the ball much better. There's more touches for their running backs, currently going on, and also the injury. I mean, you got to realize wide receivers are like Lamborghinis and Porsches. All right, they're not Jeeps. So, you know, if you got a Porsche, which I do not, and it has a flat tire on it, yeah, you can still drive it, but you can't drive it 110 miles an hour anymore. You got to keep it, you know, at 65. So those small little injuries can really affect a wide receiver. They don't affect an offensive lineman or even a quarterback, or even a running back nearly as much. They're sort of used to just sort of plugging away with those injuries. But a wide receiver just being off by 10 or 20%, that can make all the difference between getting some separation from your opponent. That can make a difference between going up and getting the ball on a 50-50 ball. It can make a difference because the DBs know the player's injured, so they're not going to be worried about just getting blown by, so they're sitting on routes. Just a small injury can make a big difference, which adds to the fact to the conversation of why the Vikings need to, whether they're the first seed or the second seed. Obviously, the first seed is better, but to be the first or second seed, get that bye in the first round so guys like Diggs can get really another bye week and get fully healthy for the final couple games of the season.
And that might be a situation where if you have the luxury, maybe you can even give Diggs some rest in week 17, although I think I saw you tweet yesterday, it's probably going to be a long shot for the Vikings to be secure in week 17. They're probably going to be jockeying for seeding. It's going to come down to the wire, right?
Yeah, I just can't imagine the Vikings not needing week 17, maybe not to win the division, But we're talking about seed, and we're the first seed, second seed, you know, even third seed. So I can see that, you know, week 17, they're not a one-loss team, and everyone else has four right now. They are right in the thick of things. They lose one game of these next four, it drops them immediately down. So every game is very, very important. And my guess is, unless the Vikings win the next three, and you know the Eagles and the Saints and the Rams all lose two out of the next three, my guess is the Vikings will need week 17 for some sort of seeding in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm with you there. In the past, we played this game called Name That Game with you, where I lead you with clues to try to identify a game from your past, and I test your memory. And you always pass with flying colors. I don't think you've ever missed. Well, I'm taking it to a new level today.
I feel like we started this game last year, and now I'm a year older, which I'm a year further removed from the game, which is I'm giving myself a disadvantage every day.
Well, I'm going to test you even more this year by giving you clues to games that you were a part of, but you did not play in.
Well, that narrows it down. About 80% of the games I was.
Well, it was too easy. It was too easy for the games you played in. We need to test your memory even more. So
bigger sample size.
Yeah, I'm going to lead you with clues and tell me when you identify the game. So, first clue for game number one. I sound like a raspy head coach who's been yelling too much, don't I?
Yeah, I'm used to it. I'm actually more comfortable this way. You should have this voice more often.
Yeah. Andre Johnson scored a touchdown. I'm sure that doesn't narrow it down too much, but that does tell you something about the team that was involved.
True.
On the opposition side, Chad Pennington was the quarterback.
Okay.
All right. The leading receiver on the opposing team was Lavernius Coles.
I'm going to go ahead and say this is the game right after Thanksgiving, or maybe right before Thanksgiving.
Yep.
I broke my wrist. Houston Texans at the New York Jets. I was the holder. We tried a 60-yard field goal, and it was well short. I ran down, made the tackle, broke my wrist, IR for the season.
No way. That's this game?
I believe so.
Wow. I seriously didn't realize you got hurt in this game. I just picked it randomly.
Was it like a November 26th or something like that?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah. I don't know if you're cheating right now.
And I feel like I tackled a kid named like Justin Miller or something like that, who ended up going to the Pro Bowl that year as a returner. So it even adds more spice to the whole situation.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Wow. That was quite an eventful game that I picked. Let's try this one. There were 61 total points scored in the game. The quarterback for your team was Jay Fiedler. On the opposition, the quarterback was Quincy Carter. And he threw three interceptions. Yep.
Thanksgiving game at Dallas, obviously. We won that game. We wore throwback uniforms, 1972 throwback uniforms. Brian Greasy was the number two. I was the number three. And actually, in the locker room before we went out, and I know there's a picture somewhere, I stole our team chaplain's eyeglasses. We're like Pepsi, you know, Coke bottle sun eyeglasses. And I put them on to make it look like Brian Greasy's dad, Bob Greasy, who wore glasses back when he played. That's what I remember about that game. The rest of the game, I don't remember a whole heck of a
lot. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, you just crushed Dallas on Thanksgiving. 40-21, you won that game. This one you also won by 34 points. Your quarterback was Eli Manning. So
oh, yeah.
that obviously tells you what year it was. And they
So I, yeah, 2010, yep. I'm going to say about two-thirds the way through the season. We're up 35-0 or 35-7 at halftime. They throw me in to this game, and you can see the drive chart. You should check out the drive chart for this game. They throw me in with about 14 and a half minutes left in the game. We go on an 18-play drive. I throw zero passes, and we kneel down at the 2-yard line the last two or three plays of the drive to end the game.
So I'm looking at it now. Danny Ware must have been your backup running back, Danny Ware.
Ware out of Georgia, yeah. Third running back behind Brandon Jacobs and Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yep, right end for 6 yards, right end for 7 yards, right tackle for 5 yards. You must have best just been pounding that that right side. Wow, right guard.
It was
right
incredible. And here's the amazing thing. We get down to the, said about the 2 or 3 yard line. And, you know, there's we're going to kneel it out. You know, they're out of timeouts. We're going to kneel out the clock. Well, we look up, and Richie Soibert is our center. Richie Soibert from Northern Wisconsin, and we have exactly 200 yards rushing, exactly 200 yards rushing. And he says to me, "If you lose a yard on these quarterback sneaks, the offensive line is going to be pissed." So I literally, on all three sneaks, I actually tried to like go right up next to the center, which did not make the defensive lineman very happy in that game. And they still counted as a yard loss every single time, even though I know for a fact all three were maybe a yard the most combined, but they gave me a yard loss for each kneel down.
It's, yeah, it says here that the first time you were successful, it says no gain, then minus one, and then minus two. Oh, that's...
Which knocked us down to 197 for the game.
Man. Well, that's awesome. I love your memory, Sage. That's fun. Good anecdotes. We're just going to cut it off there and get to our picks. We've got four NFC North games. Bears at Bengals, Packers at Browns, Lions at Bucks, and Vikings at Panthers. So all the NFC North teams are on the road this week. Let's begin with Bears at Bengals. And a reminder that I am leading in the confidence meter picks 960 to 945. And I believe I picked first last week, so I think it's your turn.
We're getting to that point of the season where you have to go, what do the teams have to play for, and do they want to play for their head coach? In this situation, I don't think the Bears have much to play for. The Bengals don't either, but I sort of feel like the Bengals are going to win this one. I think the Bears are just absolutely done. And I have not yet really watched them in about the last 2 months, really too much. I know their quarterback throws for about 100 yards a game. But I'm going to go with the Bengals on this one.
So will I. I'm going to put 95 on it. How many points do you want?
95. That sounds good.
Okay, 95 apiece on Cincinnati. They're favored by 6.5 at home. How about the Packers at Browns? I'm seeing a lot of people who think this could be a trendy upset pick with the Browns over the Packers. What do you think?
I don't see this being an upset at all. I like the Packers in this game. The Browns they just fired their GM yesterday. So I'm going to go with the Packers in this one. I'm going to say 80%.
Yeah, see, if you had gone with Cleveland, I probably would have gone in on it with you for solidarity, but I'm too scared to lose that many points in the swing here. So I got to go with Green Bay to keep pace with you. I'm going to put 70 on Green Bay because I think there's an inkling in me that thinks, well, big shakeup in the front office. Maybe there's a different level of emotion this week. They're going to play for Hugh Jackson, who's still there. The Packers are definitely the better team. Anyway, we'll go to Lions at Bucks. Lions might not have Matthew Stafford in this game. It's in Tampa. What do you think?
I should know this. Who is the number two quarterback in Detroit? Do you know that answer?
Yes, it is Michigan's Jake Rudock.
Oh, gotcha. Well, he's actually an Iowa guy first. I like Detroit in this one, whether Stafford plays or not. I know Stafford's such an important part of that team, but I just the Bucks just seem like they're done too. My guess is Dirk Cutter's on his way out the door as well.
Yeah, you definitely get that vibe, don't you? I'm going to say, because I think if Stafford's not playing, I think they lose. I'm going to go with the Buccaneers and hoping that Stafford doesn't play in that one. So did you give a point total on that? I didn't hear.
Oh, 80%. 80% Detroit.
Okay, I'm going to go with Tampa 60. Tampa 60 and try to get a swing game on you. And that brings us to the Vikings and the Panthers. Panthers are underdogs in this one, as you might expect. Vikings favored by 2.5 on the road. This is a chance for the Vikings to win their sixth road game for like the first time in 40 years or something. Do they get it done, Sage Rosenfels?
I think so. I think if they run the football halfway well and Case doesn't turn the ball over, I really think they match up very well against this defense. You know, they don't have a premier wide receiver. You know, Funch is a good player, but they don't have a guy like Julio Jones, who's a premier player. And they shut down Julio last week. So I'm not a huge Cam Newton fan. He does a lot of really amazing things with his legs near the goal line. But if a team has a good pass rush, and can man up with the wide receiver crew and Greg Olsen at tight end, I think they're going to be harassing Cam Newton all day long. He's going to be sore at the end of this game. 75. Let's go 75%.
75. Yeah, Everson Griffin was saying the other day they're just going to hit Cam Newton like a running back. They're going to try to batter him. I think Everson Griffin matches up incredibly well with Matt Khalil. Mike Zimmer was asked yesterday what the battles were like in practice between the two, and he didn't give an answer. But his face gave an answer, and he didn't want to throw Khalil under the bus. But he said with his eyes, "Yeah, Everson Griffin worked to this guy, but I'm not gonna give you guys that quote. I'm definitely gonna go with Minnesota in this game. I'm gonna go with Minnesota 85. I think they can throw on this secondary, and I think they maybe can run a little bit if they get the pass established. And obviously, I really like what Minnesota does defensively. Minnesota 85." Those are our picks for this week.
I really think this game is going to be a sort of a classic NFC grinded out game. Both clubs sort of play a similar style, you know, try to not turn the ball over, grind it out, good defense, try to run the football. I don't see it being a, you know, 42-35 type of ball game.
And the last two times these teams have played, the Vikings scored a special teams touchdown 2 or 3 years ago. Adam Thielen, before he was anything, blocked a punt and recovered it, returned it for a touchdown. Then last year, Marcus Sherrills had a punt return touchdown, so special teams could play into it. The Vikings haven't had many big special teams plays this year. I think they're due, Sage. I think Mike Prefer's unit is going to put one together this week.
It's about time. It's about time. Should be a great matchup.
Yep. He's Sage Rosenfels at Sage Rosenfels 18. I'm Sam Ekstrom at Sam Ekstrom. Make sure to join on draft.com, my snake draft for the week. Use the promo code LONFL. I will be tweeting the link out later today. It's draft.com and the draft app. He's Sage. I'm Sam. Locked on Vikings. Locked on Podcast Network.